Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negron. It's Tuesday night in Montgomery County. And we're talking about the issues that emanate from Montgomery County and beyond. This is two-way talk radio, so I want to hear what your opinions are. Not really. No, I don't. But if you want to call up, don't be afraid to talk radio. Get on the air. Say what you got to say. The worst thing that can happen is I hang up on you and I don't talk to you for the rest of the week. That's not so bad, right? I don't think so either. Our phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. And one more time for good luck. Third time's a charm. It's 773-897-6423. Call by midnight tonight, and you will get free shipping. So what's going on in Montgomery County? This show, we're on every Tuesday between 8 and 9 p.m. We're talking about the issues that emanate, as I mentioned, and there is a ton going on. And I put out the agenda. If you want to be on our mailing list or anything of that sort, you know, send me an email, or I'll tell you, I've got to start up a show email for that. But you could also get me on Facebook and or Twitter at BNegrin Radio, hashtag BNegrin Radio. That's my Twitter, or at BNegrin Radio. I don't know what's going on with Twitter. I just have it because someone told me I should get it. No, I really know what's going on. That's not a problem. But there are a bunch of topics that I want to talk about, as I mentioned. A couple things to start off the show. We're going to talk about fracking. It's a big deal. Fracking going on. You know, the United States is the number one energy provider in the world right now. We've really flooded the market, and we're killing it, absolutely killing it. You know, not so much for oil, but there's so much cheap energy out there that everybody's getting their hand in something. And why is this? Because of fracking. You know, I look at fracking, and it's interesting. It's one of these things that I'm a Republican, true and true. But Republican doesn't mean what you think it means if you come out of New York. I'm going to say this over and over again. If you've heard me before, I'll say it again. Being a New York Republican is a lot different. Maybe it's being a conservative Democrat. I don't know how you would qualify it or quantify it, but that's the way I look at it. Because on social issues, environmental issues, I think much differently than a Republican would. Matter of fact, I'm starting to stray away from the word conservative. And I like to say I'm a fiscal conservative, but I don't want to be a fiscal idiot. Some things require money. Some things need to be paid. Some things need to be funded. Question with me is, like, if you tell me what's going to be funded, instead of asking and grabbing my taxes all the time, tell me how you're going to spend it and why it's going to be spending it. And there was something I said a couple years ago on my old program, New Rochelle News and Views, when I was on WVOX up in New York, broadcasting out of New Rochelle. What I said there is, like, I will gladly pay a little bit more in my taxes if you tell me it's going to reduce the deficit. Don't tell me it's going to start a new program for fund relief or cell phones for the poor or something to that effect. You know, tell me it's going to reduce the deficit and tell me where it's going. It's earmarked, my extra cash that I'm spending in taxes, it's earmarked for this, or a transportation fund or something like that, then I don't know if the word is gladly, but I will pay a bit more taxes if that's what the case is. I don't want to saddle my children with debt. I don't want to saddle the grandchildren with debt. Their grandchildren, I won't even know. I won't even see them until we're at the pearly gates. St. Peter, who's that? That's your great-great-great-grandchild. Oh, hey, come on in. Have a 40. Now, anyway, so, I mean, the taxes and stuff like that, fiscally conservative, I'm just – fiscally responsible is the word I want to use. But New York State, it was a big thing going on in New York State for a long time because the southern tier of New York State, bordering Pennsylvania, up by Scranton and Binghamton and stuff like that, they were saying that they want fracking. You know, New York State needs fracking. We need jobs. We need jobs. Yes, we do need jobs. I'm not an anti-growth. I'm not anti-people bringing home a paycheck and able to put up their families. But the question comes down to, at what cost? At what cost? Fracking has been banned in New York State. The energy commissions everywhere, you know, all these lobbying groups and stuff like that are very mad. But fracking, you don't know what it's doing. As a matter of fact, we're starting to find out what it's doing. You know, the panacea there, fracking, it's going to create jobs. Everybody's going to love it. You know, I hate when people start saying that because it's not true. Few people get rich. Not everybody gets rich. Some people might be bringing home a paycheck, which is great. But not everybody's getting rich. And at what cost? At what cost? That's what you have to ask yourselves. Who's our biggest enemy right now? Who's the biggest fear that we have? It's not North Korea. It's not even the Russians, but it's China. And when is China going to make a move, right? China is buying up every natural resource in the world. China is also building and polluting all of their stuff. They have a billion people over there, and they're not going to have any drinking water. And that's when you got to start worrying. That's when the sabers will start rattling. You have to worry about, you have to protect. You must protect. You have an obligation to protect your land and your drinking water. So fracking, I'm reading it in the Washington Post, which, you know, right now, it's that and the New York Post. I told you are going to be my two main sources. The New York Times, I can't stomach it sometimes. I don't particularly like it. You know, I'm talking about that. I don't want to be a liberal, but I'm a conservative Democrat. I just can't read the Times because it's so far out of the scope of what I'm about and what I like to understand or my thoughts that I just have a hard time reading it. I'll read the Metro section. I'll read the Arts and Style. But that front page can be so slanted at times. Their op-eds can be so slanted that it's not even news anymore. It's just straight-up opinion. Obviously, op-ed supposed to be. But the opinion oozes out of that front page a lot. But anyway, in the Washington Post, there's a big article talking about Oklahoma worries over its swarm of earthquakes. And they're blaming the earthquakes now on fracking and drilling. You know, we've always had oil wells drilling. The petroleum industry is going to be strong. But now that you're getting fracking and all this wastewater going back into the earth, well, it's only sand and chemicals, but it's still toxic, and you're putting it back into the earth. Pearl S. Buck would be very upset. But you're putting it back into the wastewater pumped underground each year. Okay, so you got that. First, and then secondly, you're fracking. You're breaking up layers of the earth. What do you expect? What do you expect? A couple years ago, before this all became public knowledge, my brother had said something about this. He goes, watch how many earthquakes start. You're taking away a layer of earth. You know, you're disintegrating it, and it's collapsing. And then what's going to happen? You're going to have earthquakes, right? This isn't one of these, science fiction, Bruce. It's a science oven, or you're making all this stuff up. Go to Oklahoma and see what's happening. Let's see what they said. Last year, 567 quakes of at least 3.0 magnitude rocked a swath of counties from the state capital to the Kansas line, alarming a populace long accustomed to fewer than two quakes a year. Two quakes a year! Can you imagine this now? You got to live in Oklahoma, you worry about earthquakes and tornadoes? You talk about disaster film coming to life right there. Scientists implicated the oil and gas industry in particular, the deep wastewater disposal wells that have been linked to dramatic increase in seismic activity across the central United States. But in a state founded on oil wealth, officials have been reluctant to crack down on an industry that accounts for a third of the jobs and one in five jobs overall in the economy of Oklahoma. It's pretty scary, isn't it? Yeah, we're bringing in the money. You know, you try to make analogies, and I had one that's going to be a loose one, but it's sort of the same. You know, compare fracking and this easy money and not caring about what happens after it comes out of your pocket or after you frack. Compare it to drug dealing. It's the same thing. You know, you're selling drugs, you're making big bankroll, you're hanging out on the corner, you got a nice Lincoln Cadillac, or you're making papes, as we used to say in the old days, collecting Benjamins. It's profitable, very profitable, but to what expense? What are you ruining? You're ruining lives, kids' lives, children's lives, adults' lives, smoking crack all hours of the night. Beating up on the fabric of society and the social fabric. But I don't want, before I go down that road, which I'm not going to actually, I want to bring it back to fracking. In New York State, they banned it. And boy, Cuomo, for as much as trouble as he's going to get in, this is Andy Cuomo. New York State's in a lot of trouble in terms of corruption. They're going to federal prosecutor down in New York who's taken on Albany, which is years overdue. But anyway, Andy Cuomo, he stood hard against fracking. I'm not letting him frack in New York State. He's getting slinged with arrows because of this decision. Because just across the border, the people of Binghamton, the people on the border can see the people of Pennsylvania running wild, buying new trucks. They got a new Camry, you know, Toyota 4x4 with a Hemi and a Ram, whatever, any of that stuff with torque and dork and all of that kind of stuff. If you ever want to know about cars, go to my locker room for my men's team. I got like 5 or 6 guys in there. They talk about all this stuff. I don't know anything. A couple of us just sit in the corner and laugh. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I just filled up the Buick. But anyway, to what avail, to what expense, to you're ruining your natural resources. Yes, fracking can bring you a natural resource, get gas out of shale and by fracking it, but it brings you cheaper energy. But if you're going to pollute drinking water, if you're going to take a layer of earth away and have it fall apart, then I'm not for it. I'm not for it at all. And that's the, you know, I mean, I think there's something that needs to be said for that. And the fracking, you know, people will do everything until they find out that's what's wrong. And then you're going to have that movie, the scientist who gets a stream of consciousness. He's going, ah, you're right. I shouldn't have done that. We shouldn't have done that if I had known. But yeah, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous what this fracking is causing. And, you know, I mean, if you want to put your foot down, so that's the funny part. You know, I'm a Republican, but I'm against fracking. I'm a Republican, and I do believe in renewable energy. I'm a Republican, and I'm a troublemaker. That's what I am. That's what I am. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. You know, if I could afford the electric car, I might get one driving around here. Who knows? This is Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negger. We're here every Tuesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. We're talking about the issues that emanate from Montgomery County and beyond. My phone number is 773-897-6423. Again, that's 773-897-6423. And let's get right to the phones. Caller, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Mr. Bruce, how are you?
Doing very well. How you doing?
Pretty good.
I wanted
to chime in on this. I may be jumping ahead here, chiming in on this Dr. Weiss thing with Montgomery County Schools.
No, please, go ahead. What do you need to say?
I don't think you're going to hear the truth from the liberal media that I've been listening all day trying to hear the reasons, the reasons for this guy up and leaving. And my sources tell me that the reason being is that the reason why he wasn't getting along with the board was the board wanted to start to dumb down the curriculum, if you get what I'm talking about. And of course he wasn't for that. So he obviously wanted to keep moving this curriculum forward. You know, you got the highest SAT scores in the country here, but it seems that the board had other ideas as far as having the hoodies catch up, so to speak. But you're not going to hear that on the radio or any reasons why, because all day long everybody was so stumped. But this has been going on for more than just this week or last week, so. So I might want to chime in on that because you're not gonna hear that.
Now, what the caller was referring to is that Dr. Starr, Joshua Starr, has actually resigned, but I would say resigned not under pressure, but I think he believed that his contract wouldn't be renewed anyway. But he's the superintendent of Montgomery County Public Schools, and you're correct about this because all of a sudden, in the last I know it's contract time for him, but in the last week or so or 7 days. Or 7 to 10 days, the story was the front page story, but nobody said anything about anything. All it's been is about political moves and you know, that he didn't have enough votes to stay on the board or to stay as superintendent. But I agree. I mean, there are a couple people in the Montgomery County Council who are asking for answers of why is this being done. And it seems like he got along with some of the right people, but some of the wrong people who controlled his contract he had a problem with. So I think you're correct in what you're saying, that a lot of this is going to peel back, and we'll find out the reason soon enough, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought I might just throw that out there, because I don't think you're going to hear the truth on the radio around here. So, but I got some pretty reliable sources that this has been going on for quite some time.
I can believe that, because there's got to be some deep-seated thing here that's just making this issue come to a head so quickly, because it really came out of nowhere. I mean, there are a couple of people who didn't like Dr. Starr's stance on the school bell times, how he pulled it and says he wasn't strong enough, et cetera, but there's got to be something more. That's not a fireable offense, you know? So.
Yeah, exactly.
But I appreciate the phone call.
Yes. All right, thank you.
Thank you. So, yeah, Dr. Starr, you know, I mean, I have a stack of articles in front of me talking about Joshua Starr and how he's in a contentious battle with the school board. And he said, I've had enough. I think he saw the writing on the wall. But there's got to be a reason here. And I know that I saw an interview with Craig Rice, too, today, who's on the Montgomery County Council. And he was not happy with what was being done. He's like, we've moved far ahead or much further ahead than we had before, and he's really worried about a backslide. To be honest with you, and I'll, in full disclosure, I've been here a year and a half. I have a child in kindergarten and a child in second grade. You know, other than Common Core, which is across the nation, except for a couple states who have really battled back, I don't have a problem with Montgomery County schools. But then again, the depth of how far I can go into this, I don't know yet. I don't know yet. I mean, we've talked about the issues. We've talked about outside of the issues, such as, you know, bell times and things to that effect. But the deep down learning and the politics that was going on here, it's got to come out. I mean, the liberal media, we'll give the media a shot, because so far everybody's been pretty tight-lipped, it seems. I mean, obviously there are sources, but if those sources can talk to that caller, you know they'll probably get out into the newspaper as well. There's enough outlets, hopefully, that will hear what the real story is. And the reason I think the story might come out is exactly what I said about Craig Rice and the county council. People on that county council are not happy, you know, to change streams after 4 years, you know, change directions. I don't think anybody's really, really happy about it. You know, so we'll see what happens there. But Dr. Starr, you know, he made some missteps, possibly. One of the missteps was going out with the bell times last year and then pulling it back. That, you know, that gave people a reason to start throwing slinging arrows at him. You know, it gave him a bit of a reason to start that. And then, because people started saying, well, he's not strong enough, you know, he's not a leader enough to handle this kind of thing. And then when he made the misstep also of saying maybe that he was interested in the superintendent's job in New York City. You know, you just got on the job here 2 years in, and then you're making overtures to go to New York City. Yeah, believe me, for someone who didn't have kids in New York City schools, but who dealt with it every day because we were across the street from the teachers union where I used to work, and just reading the newspapers up there, stay where you are. Montgomery County is a godsend compared to New York City schools. What are you, nuts? What are you, crazy? Bureaucracy? But it just goes to show, it can find you anywhere. It can find you anywhere, and that's what happened here. Hopefully this story will come out, because there's got to be more to it. Again, I have 9 articles that I have with a paperclip, you know, and I just like to throw them against the wall, but see what sticks. But this time, with these 9 articles, they all said the same thing, but they didn't say anything. Something is strange afoot at the Circle K, and you know it, and I know it, and that caller knows it. Well, yeah, we moved up to that Dr. Starr. You know, the shining star is burned out. He's gone. Poof. So now you have an interim, and now, of course, this is my favorite. We'll get the blue ribbon panel for a nationwide search. What are you going to just search? Of course you're going nationwide. Hopefully you get the right guy. Hopefully you get the right guy. It's an interesting time. An interesting time for Montgomery County and for the public schools. But again, as I said, I'm good with it right now. Except the thing that bothers me about Montgomery Public Schools is how they don't plan for winter. Having all these days off. We haven't had, January wasn't a full day of school or full week of school in January. Just to sidetrack for a sec, maybe Maryland and the surrounding area should realize and start planning for winter. I know, like, what was it, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you didn't have any snow down here at all? Well, you're starting to get snow. You know, and we don't have crippling snowfalls. We haven't had this year, I don't think. But you got to start planning for snow and making it a real concern. This is the nation's capital, my goodness. Come on, you can't shut down the government. It's like certain things that you just sit around here and you start talking about it. I guess this is a bad trait that I have, but I can just start going over something in my head or in my head, keep talking about it, and then all of a sudden I get angry about it because it doesn't make sense. The more you think about it and the more you analyze, it doesn't make sense. How does the nation's capital shut down for snow? I mean, if you're going to get Boston snow 2 feet, amen. Stay home, brother. Stay home. Enjoy the day. But when you get 2 inches, 3 inches, you know, essential personnel, how do you make that decision? Like, do you want to be essential or not? No. Are you essential? Well, according to Snow Days, I'm not an essential employee. So, you know, do I put that on my resume? Oh, boy. Speaking about public schools, I think my son came home and got me sick. I'm starting to feel that cough again. Ugh. I hadn't been sick. I hadn't had a sore throat in 30 years. And I got 2 strep throats last year. 2! Not 1, but 2. 2 for the price of 1. Absolutely ridiculous. The kids are the ones that are doing it to me. And I'm taking my vitamins. I'm working out. I'm healthy. I'm running circles around everything. I'm looking good. There are a couple guys out there saying, shut up. You just drink beer every time you get a chance. You play hockey just so you can drink beer. Yeah, but be quiet about that. Don't let the secret out. Hey, this is Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negger. We air every Tuesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Talking about issues and issues and issues. And even some things that aren't issues, but just some things that bother me. And some things I like. Phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. We will be starting up a Facebook page and or a Twitter page for this program. So if you want to post something, all these articles that I cut out, I'll be able to post on the Facebook. How old am I? How old did I just get there? Are you on the Facebook? Yes, I am, Ma. Leave me alone. Get off the phone. Hey, Ma, get off the phone. So did you see the Super Bowl the other day? I didn't. Let me tell you something about sports. I've realized I am not a fan of sports. What? What? You are not a fan of sports? Are you kidding me? No, I am a fan of sports, but I found out more so that I'm a fan of my teams. If my team isn't playing, I don't really care. I'll be on the couch, eat some chicken wings, have some pulled pork. But, you know, the Seahawks playing the Patriots? Deflatriots, that's what I heard. That was a funny one. Somebody on the couch who I had a friend over, and he just said, oh, you're playing the Deflatriots. It's like, okay, pretty clever. But seriously, if it's not the New York Rangers, if it's not the Mets, if it's not the New York Football Giants, and any fan of the Football Giants will say the New York Football Giants, I'm not really caring. The only thing, I did find something, this Washington thing, this whole Maryland, D.C., Delmarva County, whatever they call it, area, is starting to get to me because the New York Knicks are so bad. They are so bad. And I have such easy access to watch the Wizards that I'm starting to watch the Wizards a little bit. I'm not a big fan of the NBA. I love to play basketball. Love it. I'm slap happy with basketball. I love basketball. But I'm not a big fan of watching the pro game or even the college game now because every 2 years it's a different guy. And when the Duke Blue Devils started having black uniforms, I was out. When the Crimson, the Harvard Crimson, have black uniforms, I'm out. Stop selling yourselves out. Stop selling out to the lowest common denominator here. Oh, sales. It's like fracking. Anything for the dollar. Make money, money, y'all. Make money. I'm not with that. Hold your integrity. You can sell yourself, but you can't sell out. And everybody's like trying to pretend like they're a tough guy now. No sellout, no sellout. Nah, belly wash. You buy a black Duke jersey, you're a sellout. Coach K, right? Mr. Wonderful allows that because this is the way he could get the top recruits because they don't want to wear a blue uniform that has tradition. They want to wear a black uniform because it's cooler. Would you ever think Kentucky would be the standard bearer? I haven't seen Kentucky in a black uniform, and if I do, rough, I'll tell you. St. John's Redmond wearing black uniforms. What? What? What is the matter with you? What is your problem? But anyway, so if it's not my teams, I'm not really watching. Football, greatest thing about football, sometimes you can get so psyched up, even if it is the Giants playing. I'm like, yeah, the Giants, I'm going to watch. I get on that couch, I get myself ready. By the end of the first quarter, I'm also not going to stay inside and watch a game when it's 1 p.m. game and it's 75 degrees outside. I have learned in my life not to waste time. Don't waste time. But speaking of wasting time, let's get right into it again. Wasting time. Where is this article? I know you saw the Super Bowl. 49 million people, or what was it, 49% share, the highest rated television program of all time? When did the last episode of MASH stop being the highest rated episode of all time, right? I'd love to date myself. But anyway, the Super Bowl, the commercials. I'm not even going to talk about the commercial you think I'm going to talk about. I will say something about the Budweiser commercial. I'm a little tired of them pulling heartstrings with this dog and the horses. Everyone's, oh, it's so wonderful. It's such a one. Give me a tissue. No, give me a tissue. No tissues. Let's play it out. What Budweiser should do is just go back to their heritage, pull out some commercials from like 1973, and then show everybody what it's about. Be the company. Be the American company. Be my favorite foreign beer again. Pretend like you're an American company. Horses and puppies. It's a football game, son. This ain't no math test. But I'm watching the commercials, and Liam Neeson pops up. Kate Upton pops up. And I'm sure you had the same question as I had. Clash of Clans? Really? Clash of Clans has a commercial in the Super Bowl? $4 million? What's going on? What's going on? But listen to this. Listen to this, which is amazing. The ads were all from a new entrant, mobile gaming apps, an industry that has quickly blossomed into a multi-billion-dollar market as computer use continues to shift from desktops to smartphones and tablets. Many mobile games are free to play, and more than 100 million people, that's as many jobs as the Life Center is going to bring to Montgomery County, by the way, 100 million people in the United States already use them. But a small percentage of players who are willing to make in-app purchases enables the top games to generate more than $1 million a day. The economy sucks. Yeah, it sucks because we're spending it on mobile apps. That's the business model, and it's working. The market for gaming apps, estimated at $17 billion worldwide last year, is expected to continue to grow rapidly and within a few years overtake established console gaming systems such as Xbox, PlayStation. This is from the Washington Post office also. Todd Frankel is the writer. I like to give credit where credit's due. I don't want people – I'm reading their paper, and I'm regurgitating their news, and then I'm putting a spin on it. Because that's what I should be. They should have a mobile app of where you get to read the article. And what does Bruce Negrin think? Well, let me tell you what I think. It's this, that, and the other thing. That's what I think. No, but seriously, this mobile game app stuff, that's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. There are companies out there. It's an indicator of just how big the business has become. These are massively profitable companies. Clash of Clans, game by Clash of Clans, earns $1.6 million a day. The game itself earns $1.6 million a day. Then there's Game of War, which I think earns 1.1. And then, of course, there's Candy Crush and all those other things. So they're able to spend this money without a doubt. 4 days' worth of profits for a Super Bowl commercial. No big deal. But listen to this. It's estimated that only about 3% of mobile game users ever make in-app purchases, which can give them an in-game extra such as better access to shortcuts and all that junk like coins and stuff like that. If you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. But that small group spends on average $15 to $20 a month, which quickly adds up as the number of players grows. It's crazy. But the thing is, even smart adults are getting on here and playing these games as well. I hate these games. I hate them with a passion because it is the desocialization of America. It is the desocialization of America. You have four kids in a room. And I'm not even talking about my day. You know, when I played it back in the day, I had Atari. Then we moved up to Nintendo. And when I sat in the basement too playing Atari, but I was down there with a bunch of kids and we were all yelling at each other. There weren't four kids, one on the couch, one in the other room, one in the kitchen, all playing the same game. We're connected. Connected? That's a fraud. Connected. You're connected. Seriously. You're connected by the internet. You're not connected by any human value at all. So these kids all play, and they're all screaming at each other or at themselves, and there's no interaction. It's a sad, sad day in America when I tell my kids to go play Nintendo Wii or the Wii U because I want to see them interact with each other. That is a sad day. I'm as guilty as anybody else in terms of how I'm raising my kids, but the Wii U is a saving grace. Can you believe I'm saying that? Can you believe that you're hearing that from somebody? Mobile apps, people buying shortcuts to make sure my clan lives and dies. I see my kids addicted to it. My youngest comes into the room. Dad, can I have your phone? Good morning, Landon. It's like 6:30. Dad, can I have your phone? Can I have your phone, Dad? I say, how about a kiss good morning?
Dad, can I have your phone? Okay. Can I have your phone?
And then they wonder why I wake up on the wrong side of the bed, yelling and screaming at them. And then it just lashes out to the rest of the day. I'm lucky. I'm very lucky because my kids do read and they interact. They don't go outside much. That bothers me. That bothers me. But you know what? Going outside, if you don't live in we don't have kids their age in the neighborhood. We have kids, but we have a string of girls and we have some boys who are older in the fifth grade. My kids are in second and kindergarten. They don't have buddies their age. Live across a busy street, so I don't mind if Ryan rides his bike around the neighborhood. You got to let go a little bit sometime, right? He's 7 going on 8. So, I mean, you got to let him grow up a little bit that he can't ride around his neighborhood, that you got to sit behind him and spy. You know, these free-range parents over in Silver Spring or whatever, different story. And those parents in Washington that got arrested the other night, they had their two kids in the car. They were 400 yards away from their car, 400 feet away from their car. They went to a wine tasting and left their children in the car on a 35-degree night with the windows up and stuff, but they had their iPhone to occupy them. Just that goes to show you that how detached a kid is if his parents can leave him in the car with an iPhone on a strange street. But they were around the corner, too. It's not like they were just even looking out of the window. What's going on, people? You know, there are times where I'll use the video game for my children as a babysitter, but it's rare. Sometimes I want to get in there with them. Not that I want to play. I hate playing video games. Ever since they put a third button and you got to read a manual to play Madden football, get out of here. It's supposed to be relaxation. Say that easy, relaxation. But seriously, I'm not going to study the Seattle Seahawks playbook to be a Madden champion. Get a job. I'm totally serious about that. Do something more constructive with your life. Do something today that makes you better tomorrow. playing video games isn't doing it. But getting back to this desocialization, it's absolutely ridiculous. I got cousins, my nieces. These kids just sit here, and what do you think is going to happen? They're not going to know how to interact with each other at all. That's why you must force them to play a team sport or something like that. You must force them to go outside. People are like, well, I'm not going to force my kids to do anything. I'm not going to be that kind of parent. You know, I'm not looking for Ryan or Landon to bring home a paycheck to support me in terms of being a baseball player or a basketball player. We're at this particular stage, we're pretty far from it right now. But I do force them to go out there with me on Sunday morning and hit a baseball. That we are going out, it is 75 degrees, put on your glove, we're going out there, and we're going to give a real effort. One of the things I tell my kids all the time, and one of the things that I try to do is be in the moment. If you are somewhere, be there. Don't be looking at your phone. How many people do you know that are in meetings? Right, we have meetings to have meetings now. So people can't put down the phone for 10 seconds. That email is not going to get, 10 minutes. You better go in and announce immediately, I am working on a $1 million deal, and I will need to answer that email if it comes in. Tell me up front, then I'll let you do it. But stop checking your phone. I mean, we all like it. I'm not going to pretend like I'm above board. I'm above and beyond here. I look at the likes. I look at this. I'm a little Facebook. I've been on Facebook. I know what's going on. I post things to see if they're funny or not. It all comes with an ego. But I've never posted that I'm sitting at the baggage claim at LaGuardia. Who cares? What am I supposed to write back? Oh, yeah, I know that baggage claim. Beautiful children. I love your picture. Such a beautiful couple. I mean, they have emotions or emojis or whatever they call it. They should just have stock lines that you could write as comments for people on Facebook. Beautiful kids. Handsome couple. Looks yummy. Seriously. What's going on with America? But this gaming, that it got a Super Bowl moment, that they could spend $4 million on a Super Bowl commercial, get Liam Neeson in there, but they're making $1.6 million a day. Don't play the games, program the games. Program the games. Do you hear what I say? Do you hear what I say?
Pay attention.
Exactly, pay attention. Phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. The program is called Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negrin, and I'm here every Tuesday night talking about things. So we also talked about the Super Bowl. I do want to say one thing about sports broadcasting, especially these guys who've never played a game on any level. And it seems like a lot of them are broadcasters. I appreciate the fact that they love sports that much, that they want to be part of it. But if you can't play, I don't really want to hear what you have to say. Because your insights and all this kind of stuff, these guys, the ones who have never played, are always the toughest critics. Just listen to sports radio. Just listen to anybody. Oh, he had to make that catch. He had to make that catch. There's no two ways about it. You've got to make that play. It's like Herm Edwards. You play to win the game. You play the game. If everybody had to make that catch, then we'd have ties. Right? Every game would end up in a tie. Certain factors happen. Have to make that catch. You have to make that catch. Belly wash, I say. Belly wash. It's all garbage. Oh, everybody's got an opinion about something, as well as I do, right? But it just makes me laugh, how demonstrative people can be, how sure they can be. You have to make that play. You have to make that catch. All right, you go out there and do it. And I'll put your son on you. I'll put your 8-year-old son, see if you can make that catch. So here's something I also read that I thought was pretty funny. They're just news articles that are hilarious. We talked about American Sniper last week, right? I told you I went to see the film. Here's a title of an article for you. American sniper film is a misfire in Baghdad. You talk about nerve, hubris, whatever you want to call it. Who the hell said to release the movie in Baghdad? I don't know, man. I don't know. That's like releasing a movie about Ebola in Liberia. I mean, what good could come out of that? Obviously, I mean, I told you last week I didn't think it was that slanted. I don't know. I didn't think it was a rah-rah patriotic film. But you're in war. What are you going to say? I mean, called every Iraqi savage is there. I mean, after a while, when you see something like that, that you just change, your mentality changes. You know, they're saying that the movie insults Iraqis. And again, I don't want to be one of these guys like this, but my wife said something to me. She goes, that's like, she goes, no kidding. Really? It's a misfire in Baghdad? The Iraqis are upset with the film of Americans killing, you know, the kid picking up the RPG. You know, there was almost a riot when that scene happened. But, I mean, I don't think it was so. But it's still, if you send it, my wife was saying, it's like making a life story of a terrorist and showing it in the United States. Not that I'm equating a terrorist to Chris Kyle and the United States Army, but I'm just saying the effect it's going to have. Perception is reality, right? The perception of the United States and the U.S. Army over in Baghdad, you know, we can pretend like we're liberators. We can pretend. But we threw the whole country into disarray. Yeah, we're fighting for them, but again, it's like there's no clear cut because, I don't know. I'm going to get myself into trouble by saying something like that, and I probably did, and I will, and I'll probably hear it. But it's just, American sniper film is a misfire in Baghdad. No kidding. No kidding. Take a breath. Take a breath. So what was going on in Montgomery County? Ike Leggett shelves a proposal for independent transit authority. Ike Leggett tried to sneak one in. He says that he didn't try to sneak it in, but he did. But he withdrew the proposal. He wanted to create an independent agency to finance and operate a planned network of bus-only traffic lanes. The agency would be funded by a new transit tax that would not be counted against the charter cap limiting the amount of revenue the county can collect. It would fund construction with bonds backed by the tax revenue. Very interesting. Leggett pulled this. He's trying to do this for the BRT, the 98-mile bus rapid transit system, and also the CCT, the Corridor Cities Transitway. He's figuring that the state's not going to have the money to do it, so Montgomery County might raise the money, because he's another one talking about 100,000 jobs. You know, but you got to tell me when these jobs are coming and how they're – I mean, obviously, you need transportation, et cetera, and all this kind of stuff. But they wanted to create their own taxing authority. When you're a student of history, you realize who else created their own taxing authority. It was a man who built New York called Robert Moses, who had so much power through his taxing authority called the Triborough Bridge Authority, that he was able to start collecting tolls, taxes, etc., and start doing whatever he wanted. Now, you can't create an independent taxing agency, because then who are they really controlled by? Nobody. They have too much power. And I think that's what the county council got upset about, and I know a lot of people, neighborhood people, etc., were up in arms about this when they had their meetings in Rockville, the public announcements in Rockville. Somebody said this too. You know, the council chamber was packed with skeptics and opponents. This lady, Christine Ginsburg, who's the treasurer of the Twin Book Citizens Association, she said, "We just finished the elections in November 2014. If Mr. Leggett, or indeed any of you," and she's talking to the Montgomery County Council, "had been forthright in communicating to the public that plans to implement taxing authority had been in play, the elections might have gone very differently." Forthright? Are you kidding? Are you kidding? There isn't a darn thing that a politician's going to say that will include taxes until after they're elected. Forthright. I mean, it's a nice dream, lady. It's a nice dream, but it will never happen. But this guy, Greg Orland, who's Glenn Orland, who's the deputy council administrator for the county council, said the council already has the power to create special taxing districts to finance the system's capital costs outside of the charter cap. The county also has the option of creating two different taxing districts, one with higher rates for areas close to transit stations. Well, if you're going to build a 98-mile bus corridor, where does that come into play? You can't tax people differently. When I lived in New Rochelle, they were going to tax New Rochelle, Rye, Mamaroneck, all of these counties that lived on the Long Island Sound, all these cities that lived on the Long Island Sound, they got taxed differently for sewage treatment. Even though sewage rolled down the hill, you're being punished for living on the Long Island Sound. Now you're going to be punished for living next to a transit station. And you know what the best part about that is? They're trying to build transit-oriented development. Everywhere you go up to Crabs Branch near the Shady Grove Metro Station, clearing out acres and acres and acres to build transit-oriented development. And then now you're going to say, I'm going to tax you because you live there? Mixed messages don't work. They don't work. They work for some people. They work for politicians. So Leggett wants to do that. He wants to create this council to have more taxes. And now, on top of that, Leggett warns a property tax boost. More taxes upon more taxes. Now they want to tax the gas tax as well so they can fund transportation. I mean, you got to pay somewhere. And I told you, as long as you tell me where it's going, I might consider that I might swallow it a little bit easier. I might swallow it a little bit easier, but as long as you tell me where it's going, then I have a chance. But this is something that I thought was funny. Montgomery County Executive Ike Leggett says residents can expect him to propose a significant property tax increase this year or next to make up for state funding cuts and revenue diminished by a still sluggish recovery from the recession. I swear to goodness, about 2 weeks ago, I heard that we've turned the page. Things are better. The economy is moving again. I did it. That's me thumping my chest. I'm the president. I did it. Before you take a victory lap, let's all get recovered. Montgomery County is $200 million in the hole. And again, with all of these articles I read, I guess I got to start getting into the nitty-gritty and start printing off of these budgets and city council meeting notes like I used to. I don't really have time for that anymore, but if I want to be informed, I'm going to have to do it. Why are we $200 million in the hole? Why? Why? What budget gaps? What are the budget gaps? What do we have to fill? Is it pensions? Then I can understand it. Is it employee raises? You know, hopefully they didn't take raises before because you can't stop somebody all the time. But we'll find out. We'll see what's going on there. But tax, 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 and tax. It's not the answer. It's not always the answer. I mean, it's the easy answer. It's the easy way to get things. Oh, well, we could tax the people. Pretty soon, then that's how you lose office. But, you know, I mean, it's running all into each other. And the other thing here, and I thought was interesting, let's go to our D.C. bashing for a second. Our Washington, D.C. segment, reporting from Newscopter 7, here's Les Nessman. This is something I thought was very funny, and talking about the dysfunction of Washington, D.C. Broken cameras drop traffic and revenue in the district. Better compliance, not the cause of the fall, as originally stated. D.C. program brought in $38 million less in 2014. I got to read this to you in case you didn't get it. This is about speed cameras, and that's what this article is going to be about, and also about dysfunction in Washington, D.C. D.C. police acknowledged this week that a sharp decline in revenue from the city's network of traffic enforcement cameras was due in part to problems maintaining some of the equipment, undermining earlier claims that the drop was mainly due to motorists doing a better job obeying the law. Severe weather froze up the batteries. You got to be kidding me with this. I mean, what D.C. did, for some reason, the police department brought it in-house. Like they don't have enough to worry about. Keep it out of house. Keep it as a contractor kind of thing. $38 million, that's no joke. That's no joke. But the joke of this is, the joke of this is that the city council of D.C. is counting on that money. That $38 million is a huge hit. This is the problem with government. Government counts revenue streams, and they don't ever expect them to run dry again. Once you get flush with cash, you're like, oh, it's wonderful. Protect your investment, D.C. I mean, protect your investment. If these cameras are bringing in that much money, don't let them crap out. I lived in New Rochelle. In New Rochelle back in 2007, before the recession and everything came to crashing down, New Rochelle was getting a lot of development. People were interested. So New Rochelle had a pay-to-play program. You pay up $1 million or whatever, you get in there, and we'll, now you could go to the RFPs, et cetera, your bid process, and now you could go to the environmental studies and stuff. But anybody who was building, and New Rochelle approved some projects, but anybody who was building put money into the city coffers. The city coffers, the savings account, the backup plan, got up to like $14 to $17 million. Everyone's patting themselves on the back. We're wonderful, and budgets are rolling out the door. 5.6% tax increases anyway because the spending didn't stop, so they still had to increase taxes even though they're flush with cash. All of a sudden, people got annoyed. Said the recession hit. Guess what happened? All the building money that came in dried up as well, and all the money that came from the original projects was spent on traffic calming programs and all of this kind of stuff. The money went out. When government has money, they spend money. It's like going to the ATM and putting like five twenties or a couple hundreds in your pocket. You go to the bar. Unless you hide some, you're going to spend it. You come home with that crumpled $5 bill in your top pocket, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, it was a good night, I guess. Then you try to go out to McDonald's the next day, and you realize that $5 crumpled dollar bill is all you have left. I went to the ATM, I took out $100. Holy smokes, I drank that much? But seriously, it's when people have money, they spend it. Nobody saves it. So the slush fund, the reserve account in New Rochelle went from $14 million down to $4 million in a matter of 5 years. Austerity, not here. They couldn't even spell austerity in New Rochelle. Now, it's just ridiculous. When people have money, they count on it. Here's something. Phil Mendelson, a district member, said something. He said something about these cameras, that these cameras – Don't lie to me, first of all. These cameras are absolutely about revenue. They're not about calming, traffic calming. They're absolutely about revenue. The $38 million decline in revenue from traffic cameras added urgency Thursday to the first meeting between new D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser and members of the D.C. Council. Bowser said, if we were counting on those dollars, we have to make it up somewhere. So finally, Phil Mendelson says this. He's like, public safety should be about making sure motorists are not running red lights and not speeding. When we become too greedy about how much we are going to get in the revenues for these speed cameras, then when there is a slightest blip in terms of this $38 million being lost, we have a budget problem. You cannot bank on these things. This should be back pocket money. This should be going into the slush fund. You cannot balance your revenue stream. You cannot balance your books based on red light cameras, especially if you're not going to protect your investment and have them work. That is absolutely ridiculous. You can't tell me any different. But all of these things, oh, Montgomery safe speed corridors. Give me the old Archie Bunker on that. Don't give me that. Don't lie to me. Especially when you pop them in and out. You want calming, traffic calming? Leave them where they're supposed to be. There's one on Travilla. The other day, I thought I was part of the paparazzi. I guess I was doing 42, 43, you know, coming down Travilla Road. Jeez, it scared the heck out of me. I gave him like that motto. I was like, hi. I mean, and then you laugh because it's like, there's $40 gone. And we're still $200 million in a hole? Montgomery County, there's $40. Put that towards the traffic light thing. Bah! It's unbelievable. I mean, really, traffic calming, I get it. You don't want people speeding through school zones. What is up with Robert Wooten High School, by the way? You know, you drive by Quince Orchard High School or Poolsville High School or anywhere else. Maybe not Poolsville is not the right example. But Richard Montgomery, anywhere else, Northwest. You could do 45 past Northwest. I mean, obviously, they're on Great America. But Quince Orchard empties out, or Quince Orchard and QO High School empties out on Quince Orchard Road. There, you're supposed to do 30. I get it. But in front of Wooten, you can do 20. They got, I mean, it's like a SWAT team over there. You drive by, they're telling you your speed. They're 9 cameras. You know, I don't want to drive fast during the past the school. But, I mean, at 2 o'clock in the morning, shouldn't I be able to do 25, 30 maybe? Nobody knows if those cameras are even working at night. But I'm not going to be the one. I'm not going to be the $40 guinea pig. Why does Wooten get all of this special treatment? Why do you have to slow to a crawl? Why do you have to get in a soapbox derby down Wooten? I don't get it. It's like Fred Flintstone. I'm not even hitting the brake. I opened the car door, and I got my foot out. I was going 27. I'm going to get a ticket. Why are they so special? Program is outside looking in. My name is Bruce Negrin. I'm here yelling and screaming every Tuesday night between 8 and 9 p.m. I hope you're enjoying the program. Our phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. What that means, when I give you the phone number, that means call up. Talk about what's on your mind. This is two-way talk radio. I know there's something out there that you need to get off your chest. Just say it. Just say it. That's what we're here for. Really, I'm not going to yell at you. At least not a lot. I'm not Bob Grant. Remember Bob Grant? I don't know if anybody knows who Bob Grant is, but get off my phone. The reason I do talk radio is because my mom was a talk radio nut. She used to listen to Larry King at night, Bernard Meltzer, Grambling, everybody, anybody and everybody. I used to have to go to sleep with the radio on to hear someone talking. So when I got married, I changed that, so now I don't sleep with the radio anymore. But for years and years and years, I used to listen to the radio like that. I love talk radio. I love listening to people. I like when it's two-way. You know, you get a Rush Limbaugh, you get the Sean Hannity, you know, the know-everythings. I'm not a know-everything. It might seem that way, but I'm not. I'll yell and scream, but tell me how wrong I am. Tell me I'm not saying a little something that you want heard. There is a little something that I'm saying, that some truth to something that's inside you that I'm saying for you. And hopefully, if this program grows, tell your friends about it. And I'm serious about that. Tell your friends, because there is power. When I was in New Rochelle, if I said something about a pothole or whatever, it was fixed. It was fixed. Because in New Rochelle, I had a little more juice than I do now. Matter of fact, I had orange juice and apple juice. Down here, I don't even have grape juice. But we're working on it. We're working on it. We're trying to make things important. We're trying to change the way things are looked at. Because if you don't question, you know, the answer might be there. And the answer might, you might not agree with it. But it's okay to question. Because at least you get some layers to these situations. You have to question. Don't be let anybody run roughshod over you. Taxing authorities. Ike Leggett trying to sneak something in there. Taxing authority. Oh, they have the authority to tax you outside of any boundaries. Can't give that power. You just can't give that power. I don't care what it's for. Can't have different taxing authorities. If you want to incorporate, just then take the county out and start making them cities. Start making them cities and have these cities start taxing and these towns start taxing. See, I got the answers for everything. My name is Bruce Negrin. The show is called Outside Looking In. It's musings of a man from his basement. I want to thank you for listening. And do me a favor. Do something today that'll make you better tomorrow. I'll talk to you next week.
But I'll be back for more.
They hear D.L.B.
D.L.B.
Mike C.
Hey, girl. Goes along.